Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Hey, hey, it's the Pretty Corrupt Podcast, your inside guide to celebrity scandals and the reality of reality TV. I'm Jordan Ross Myers, the man behind Twitter's notorious Don Gunvalson and Lee Rodswell. Along with my co-hosts, Stacey Noel Connor and Nate Safer, welcome to the Bravo Breakdown. Woohoo! Who's hopping on the fun pod?
What?
Oh my gosh.
The fun pod. Okay, today, yes. Yeah. I saw my, I guess she's known as being the OG of the OC or my Twitter, my parody Twitter ex-wife. But I guess Vicki Gunvalson is returning to Real Housewives of Orange County. Hashtag in a limited capacity.
As a friend of?
Okay, I don't even know if it's a friend of or an appearance. I mean, I guess all appearances can be grouped into friend of. I don't know the status. But what I do find hilarious about this is ever since she was let go, she has claimed that she is done making friend of appearances, that she knows her value, she will not be used, and she will only come back to Orange County if they offer her the full-time contract she deserves. Yet season after season, they toss her a cameo and she comes scurrying back because she's addicted to the fame.
And she's like friend of Tamara's or friend of Shannon's. She is Shannon's friend. She is Tamara's friend. She is so-and-so's friend.
Do you know how painful that must be for her when she sees the Chiron and she's someone's friend?
You know, an OC angel gets their wings every time that happens.
Yeah, she has said before, which I find hilarious, I've heard her say it like directly, that she's ready to move on from Housewives because it's toxic and it tears women down, etc. And she wants a show that's uplifting and inspiring, just like she is.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. All they have to do is throw her a plate. All they have to do is toss her a drink at the Quiet Woman, and she is there. We need Andy and a camera. Boom. So,
Quiet Woman, we'll or send her to Mexico. Invite her onto a trip to Mexico. She's definitely there. On delays, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
But it tears down women. I mean, yeah, it kind of does. We've talked about the different ways that it doesn't, that it does give women over a certain age, you know, basically, you know, a career on television, that a lot of times there hasn't been careers on television for women, and especially over the age of like 30, to be honest with you, let alone 50 or 60. But she's ironic because she's the first one to tear down people, like tear down other women. Let's get real.
Yeah.
She's the first one. She's the first one to throw any girl, woman under the bus, especially for a man. Like the way she was willing to throw her own freaking daughter under the bus for Brooks fucking toothless Alabama scammer cancer man. Like,
yeah. She doesn't see her. That's what's fat. She doesn't see herself the way everyone else on Earth sees her. So I guess I'm good TV in small doses. I don't mind that she's coming back for a friend of. It's just the fact that she sees herself. I assumed with BravoCon when they gave her the Lifetime Achievement Award, I thought it was a touching moment and a sincere send-off. Like literally like lifetime achievement, almost like they were eulogizing her and sending her off never to be seen again. So, but she still came crawling back. So
not Victoria Gunvalson. Absolutely freaking not. She will never, ever, ever go away. Exactly. Exactly. She will find a way to still be on this show from her, like, Aliso Viejo, you know, old folks home that she ends up in. That's that, like, she'll be eating Jell-O out of a straw and she will still find a way to somehow be on Real Housewives of OC or, you know, on Bravo somehow or on television, whatever that looks like in 20 years from now. So, yeah.
I like her already.
Oh, dude. You would actually charm the pants off of her in On Delays. You really would. She would love you. She would run roughshod right over you, but she would love you too.
I'm sorry. I'm taken. I've already... I heard you have a betrothed housewife, okay?
Who's much richer.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I would stick with Bel Air. Sutton's not trying to sell any life insurance. And Sutton will still buy you whatever. You know, whatever surgeries you need.
No, I need a lot of those.
So.
You're going to need another hip in 5 years.
If not sooner.
Oof. Well, that's sad to talk about the passing of time. Let's talk about where time has frozen and people are forever 21. Vanderpump Rules. No, I'm going right back into it. Whoop it up. No. This Vanderpump Rules was good. I've been hearing critiques. I know Lala actually said herself that these episodes are kind of boring and that it's hard to come off of last season, which was a national phenomenon. How are you going to top it? But this one felt like real, like, because I watch these shows for like strategy and things like that. And I was, this time people were finally playing each other and I was seeing how it got my mind working. So I'd been resistant to the show this season, but I'm falling back into my ways.
I love it.
So what? Yay. I'm so happy.
Love everything about it except Tom Schwartz's hair. That hair is driving me fucking crazy.
It's about to get worse.
Is it?
Too.
Oh, God. Oh, the blonde?
It is.
Oh, I remember seeing the blonde in real life. I didn't think about when that was going to catch up to the show.
Yep, the Schwartz is about to get Kenuff.
Oh,
yep.
No.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Ruin a beautiful head of hair like that.
I thought it was gross, by the way. I thought it was gross, though, cutting it in the living room.
The pubes? As
he was getting his hair cut. Yeah, it's just they have a patio. You do it in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Somewhere, like on the living room floor, put a sheet. Put newspapers down. It was just really gross.
So gross.
Messy.
Also, like, she's like weird, standing over him. Like, he's a child. He is a child. But she's like standing over. I was like, at first, I didn't realize that she was a professional, that she had a full on kit.
Oh, did she?
I was like, oh, wait a minute. You actually, she had a full on kit. I was like, oh, you actually do this. You're at least a makeup hairstylist. And can cut hair. Like, okay, so why aren't we doing this in the bathroom or, out on the patio? Like, come on. Why are we doing this? I know we're filming, but still, at least put him in a goddamn chair. At least put him in a chair. At least don't put him on the floor. Like, or put him on a box.
I mean, I know they haven't moved past it and it's fitting for him, but it felt very frat housey. Like, that's what,
I don't
just
think
some
he's
random
ever...
girl who he may have
not going to be like a frat house type of guy. Like that's, yeah. I think that's what, that is like probably 50% of the reason that Katie divorced him is because she just realized, she was like, wait a minute, I married a guy who always wanted to be in a fraternity. And now he's living his life as if he was in a fraternity. Like that's what he is. He's that guy. And yeah, he's quote unquote sweet, but no, no.
Can we though talk about, I love the opening. We posted about it and everything that we talked about last week. We got the Sheena, we got the Sheena jackpot this week. That sit down, was it Lala? Lala and Sheena go to Villa Rosa, sit down with Vanderpump, and she gives us the double whammy classic Sheena. It was, it's all been hardest on her. She literally says, especially me, because Sandoval was one of my best friends ever in my life.
Besties.
I love the way her mind works. Yeah.
She's, I'm so sick and tired. Like I think we were all willing to give into a little bit of her like self-involved Sheena-ness like a bit last year because she was at least had like a restraining order and like whatever that, that shit, you know, that, that Rachel pulled and stuff. We're like, oh, okay. And that is your friend. But now, now we're all just like, wait a minute. No, 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 no. Also, but I did, what I did think was interesting in at least her with her and Lala with, Lisa was Lisa just rewriting history a little bit on her conversation with Tom of like making Tom sound not like he didn't escalate his conversation with Lisa because she wasn't giving in to him finally. She wasn't letting him get away with stuff. And he just kept yelling at her and yelling at her until he finally brought it to the point of basically saying that he had been suicidal. And then that got her. And I don't think any of us want to say, not like, you know, to say that we would disbelieve that anybody would be, you know, that we don't care about somebody's mental health and stuff like that. And I'm sure he went through dark times. However, and I will say this, however, there are very manipulative people. And I don't think, and I think that Tom Sandoval has shown to be quite manipulative. There are manipulative people that when they don't get their way, and especially in high stakes ways, they will raise the stakes to lie about certain things. Have we been shown that Tom Sandoval is a truth teller? He is not a truth teller. So why would he be telling the truth about his mental health right now? That is my opinion. That is my opinion. And that is also somebody who's also dealt with somebody very similar to that of like, and that can, and that is very manipulative to Lisa, to Sheena, to Lala, to anybody in that circle. And I think Ariana and Katie are the only ones who are like, no. And yes, they come off harsh, but I ride with them on that.
I don't think Vanderpump's hands are clean in this situation.
Well, not because of the way she sold it to Lala and Sheena.
Right, because I was, this is what I meant earlier when I was saying I was watching the scheming and behind the scenes. Vanderpump is playing producer and she has to find a way to get these people to film together, like we talked about last week. And she is now trying, pulling out, she's rolling with what Sandoval said to get, she's going person to person from the group, kind of separately. She sits down with Schwartz, now Lala and Sheena together, trying to find people who will soften on Sandoval and film with him so she can keep this moneymaker going. It's dark. I'm not trying to discount like what she went through with her brother or anything, but that woman's a mastermind.
Yeah,
and her job is to keep this group together. So the she knew what she did when she called on. She's calling them all in separately because she knows she has that power. I couldn't say no to her. She could easily,
of course, you she know. Could.
Jordan,
but also, and I'd also, be your servant. Like what we said before, she always is a lot easier on the guys than she is on the girls. Stassi, you know, not my favorite person in the world, but she talked about that on her podcast this past week about when she saw this, mm-hmm. she was so mad because she was like, that's exactly what would happen. Like, guys would pull stuff like this, and then they would pull really mm-hmm. bad stuff, and then they would act like they were so hurt or that they something like that, and they would get the good cut, whereas like they were doing really shitty things, and that would not be shown. Only the hurt stuff would be shown, things like that. She was like, mm-hmm. it was so upsetting to watch.
Do you think Vanderpump in that scene or ahead of that scene, the producers, et cetera, were like, to Sandoval, you have to give us something to work with. Like Vanderpump's like, you have to give me something to work with. I mean, he went with suicide, which is a very heavy topic, but she's now going cast member to cast member, like, listen to what he said, and this is why you have to come on the group trip and keep the show going.
This is my thought, is that that Lisa and Sandoval didn't plan for him to say that he said that out of his Machiavellian-ness, you know, and his willingness to escalate things. But she's willing to take that and, like you said, use it to get these people to film, right. to also create, you know, division within people. And again, because she kind of likes the boys, she rides harder for the boys than she does for the girls. So it's like a way to like get these, you know, women to soften on him, getting people to soften on him. So that's the way that I see it. Yeah. How about you, Nate? How do you see
it? Well, here's what I think. He actually never said to Lisa, suicidal. He kind of just was like, I've had dark thoughts. And then Lisa ran with it, telling everybody else, oh my God, he's suicidal. He reminds me of my brother. Like, Sandoval didn't really say that. So, but like you said, she's producing on screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Has she always been like, I mean, I know she probably played a bigger role in the early seasons, but like this season, she's just the sage everybody goes to talk to. Is that how she's been in the past?
Last few seasons,
she used to be, the past few seasons, she's less of an active role because they're not working in her. Before, she was their boss in the restaurant, and she really was more of an active cast member, but now it's kind of like they've been set free and they come back to her for her wise advice. And
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Did you?
What did we think of?
Go ahead. Please. Sorry.
Oh, no.
I was just going to say that James and Allie's party that looked like a hoot. Looked like an absolute hoot.
That's perfect. I was going to say about that.
and we'll get to it next or down, you know, somewhere else. But, you know, compared to, say, somebody's white party, the budget was a little bit lower, even though James was still complaining about the $2,000 he had to spend on things. And my thought watching it is, do you think that inflatable version of Something About Her is the only, like, location that's ever going to open? You know, like the inflatable thing in the pool? That's where Katie was like posing in front of it. Is that all we're ever gonna get?
You're being kind of a dick right there, because you know how West Hollywood works with permits and bullshit like that. So yeah, because a lot of people they're getting a lot of shit, and I get it. The only reason I want to give them a little bit of shit is because they were so much on Schwartz and Sandoval for how long it took to open Schwartz and Sandy's that they thought it was. And I remember thinking to myself, girls, it's not going to be that easy. And when I saw they picked a location in West Hollywood, I was like, oh girls, like it's still going to be tough. But so they're kind of getting that now, but I think they will open, but who knows?
I hope for their sake.
I do too. I still hate the name though too.
Was there a background there? It's just a name that they picked.
I thought it was some kind of like,
it's a name that Katie had come up with.
Like,
yeah.
Cause it was like them. It was kind of the way the show's set up. Vanderpump pits the boys against the girls. And I think this was like, us girls are going to make our own business and show them. That's just the way I took it, but it sounds like a personal hygiene product. They need better.
It does kind of sound like that. I think Katie's thinking that was like, there's something about her sandwiches. There's something about her drinks. There's something about her this. And I didn't quite, I was like, I don't love it, but I don't think, I feel like Lisa's really good with naming her places better than these kids are. So maybe the kids should listen to her advice with naming places.
She said she should have called it, they should have called it Sus, Sexy Unique Sandwich.
I'd be there, sure.
I like that.
Your panini looks sus. Like, I like it. I was kind of into this barbecue or pool party, whatever, that James was throwing and stuff. A couple of things. First of all, it was, I have to say, Lala's grown. I do see it. Mm-hmm. I mean, she talks a lot about, when she's saying all this stuff, it's actually, I think, her consciously with self-awareness talking through her thought process because she knows her triggers. And so I thought that she reminds me of Gigi from Shaw's of Sunset after Gigi decided to put away the knives. And she's just like, I know I'm a bad bitch and I'll shank everyone, but I'm working on myself. Mm-hmm. Now, normally I would slit your throat, but right now, like, I mean, that's what they remind me of. Like, she was trying. I did one thing, though. I was like, oh, why did you do that on camera? When Lala was asking Allie, like, should she speak to James? Can they talk about his sobriety journey? And, like, Allie is sitting there putting deodorant on camera. Mm-hmm. Just casually.
She's real.
She's still such a reality TV purist. Like, she's still, like, she's still a little, like, she's still an innocent. Still. She's getting the hang of it, but she's still an innocent. Two things. First of all, people, if you look at James and Allie's house, that is a, like, stereotypical Valley tract home, especially Burbank. Like, I have at least five friends who live in a house that has a similar setup to, like, that, right in that area of Burbank. Like, that, that is what it's, the houses that Tom and Katie and Sandoval and Ariana bought, those are new construction. That's the new Valley. That's the new LA. But, like, what James Kennedy has, that's old LA. And I kind of respect that. I'm kind of, I respect that he bought, like, old Valley architecture.
If you're, if you know the song and video, Tom Petty's Free Fallin', which is a love letter to the Valley. And if you see the house, like, they go, long day living in Reseda, different neighborhood, but it's the same. The Valley was built, a huge chunk of it, in tracks, 1950s standard American suburban ranch. That's what it is. It's like a classic 50s, 60s Valley home. With the shape of the pool and the back.
Most of the people add the pools on in, add them in. So probably the previous owner added that pool in. Speaking of water, though, I want to go back to the Sandoval and Billy Lee going to intimacy, his cold bath thing, that whole thing. Now, granted, I really wasn't paying attention to most of it until, like, afterwards. Like, I was paying attention to his overacting in the cold water. Now, look, I've done a cold plunge bath before. It is excruciating. I do not like them. They give me migraines. Like, it's, they're horrible. People who do them, God bless you. But it was afterwards, and they were talking. And Billie Lee, bless her, girls got goo goo gaga crazy eyes for Tom Sandoval. And she's like, and I say that because she's staring at him, and you can see the whites of her eyes all the way around. That's the only reason I say, like, goo goo gaga crazy eyes. She's got whites of her eyes staring all the way around. And the look on her face when she asked him if he was dating, are you gonna date anybody? And then he was like, no, I'm not into that. She was so crestfallen. She was like, you could just tell, like, she's that girl. It's a little bit of a pick me situation. It's also a little bit of a, like, romantic rom-com thing of, like, thinking that he's finally going to notice me. I'm going to be there for him, and he's finally going to notice me, and he's finally going to fall in love with me, and we're finally going to get together.
It's like an 80s movie. Yeah.
She, we're, Raquel wears short skirts. Billy Lee wears sneakers. She's chair captain. Billy Lee's in the bleachers.
You're right. It's Billy Lee Swift right there. Like,
it's that song.
Like
Billy's like, when you wake up and find that one day I've been here the whole time. Mm-hmm.
I was gonna.
I hope we don't violate any music.
I think you weren't close enough. I think that was fine.
No, not with that voice.
I was going to ask, because I make notes as I'm going. What's the deal with Billy Lee? Because I've only seen her in, what, two episodes now? I think his birthday and this one. And she seems to be genuinely hated online. And I was like, why do people hate her? Because I don't know. I honestly don't know. She might be a terrible person. But I've only seen her in two episodes. And I just noticed that people loathe her.
Well, maybe Jordan can, like, I kind of forgotten. She hasn't been on in a few seasons. She was on a few seasons ago, and it was kind of one of those things, again, like she was trying to be on the show. She was kind of a friend of. Did she date Ariana's brother at one point, or there was something going on?
I remember of her is forcing her, like, she clearly wanted to be on the show. Mm-hmm. And when she joined, it was, I remember she was billed as she is transgender. And that was a big step for reality TV. And that was really cool and everything. But all that great stuff, new stuff aside, or just like she wanted to be on the show so badly. And it was so like forcing situations and trying to create. So it was like when she walks into the room, kind of like sucks.
Gotcha.
The air
out. Okay. All right. That makes sense.
So it's like, part of the hate is because she's transgender, to be honest.
I did not know. Honestly, I did not know that until I literally Googled her, because I knew nothing. She just showed up when she showed up at Sandoval's birthday, quote unquote, party, it just said like Tom's friend, Billy Lee. So I didn't know she was even like an ongoing character. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, she was if two people were off on a patio arguing, she would run across the restaurant and jump in and make it like somehow.
I like her. Okay.
It was just too forced.
I like her. Okay.
Well, she like I called her a pick me for Sandoval. She's also like a pick me to like, pick me. Let me be on the show. Let me start on the show. Let me take Stassi's place. Come on. Pick me.
Right, that makes total sense.
Love me.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why. Cause she's just like, she wants it too badly. And that's the problem. That's the problem with entertainment and with life. If you want it too badly, people don't want to give it to you. You can't want it in order to get it. So yeah.
I'm wondering now if when she was totally hoping for the answer that like maybe he might be open to dating her, if it was more about unrequited romance or more about securing a full-time position on reality's number one show.
Honey, she's smart enough. She's it like, was both. Mm-hmm. It is both. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. She's not as innocent as Ariana was back a few years ago. And I'm not saying that Ariana was completely innocent and wasn't like, oh yeah, I could be on a TV show and make X amount more money a year than I'm currently making just as a bartender at Villa Blanca. Like, no, Ariana kind of knew what she was doing, but I think Ariana, you get what I'm saying.
I caught Ariana at the pool party, and there was one thing, and she has every right. I think sometimes like I'm hard on her. It's just like, my belief is they're all horrible people, so I don't really root for any. I just like to see the flaws in all of them. And I started thinking in the pool when they're beginning to soften up on Sandoval, and Ariana shuts that down and is like, anything he told you is a lie. Anything you're feeling is fake. Don't fall for it. And it's like totally true. She's been through a horrible experience with them. But I was also thinking of the timing of this, and I could see her policing the group, which Schwartz alluded to at last week's episode. Like, you're not the queen of the group. You don't speak for everyone. But it's not the emotion. It's that at this point, when they're filming, she has tons of deals rolling in. More money than she's ever made in her life on America hating Sandoval and her being the victim. Like, and I was thinking, like, she was kind of like, no, but if they soften up and ruin her season, she has all these endorsements going. So it was like a mix for me. I saw like the behind the scenes. I was like, I mean, she's made a ton, and I wouldn't want people changing their opinions if it's role, you know. It's good for her.
I mean, it's still just like when they were filming this, it's still just like a few months after. I get what you're saying. I agree with it.
She had already collecting.
Yeah. What is up with these balloons? I agree 2% with what you're saying. I still think I would be still so pissed off, and I'd be like, I'm just not in that place where I could give anybody, at least in this tight group, to like just not be able to say like he isn't a liar. Because like she's just not in that place emotionally.
But the way she was telling them how their feelings are wrong, like it was kind of like she was just like, I better circle the wagons here. And she was losing control of everyone slightly, and she has to keep a tight grip on it, because more than the show, she's made at this point, she was making a lot of money, which she needed and deserved, because she has to get out of that house and away from him.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying she's scamming people. Mm-hmm. I was just like, yeah, if I had that much coming in too, I'd be like, shut your fucking mouth.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I agree. Yeah, why do I want to fight with you on this? About this?
I do tend to make people seem way worse. Like I probably only mean, I kind of phrase things in ways I think where it makes it sound like I think she's an evil villain. So I get why, but no, I just mean like I thought about that reaction. I was like, at this point. She's making a mess.
Because personally, I wouldn't have even been. I would have just been like, I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear anything soft about him right now. Because eventually, you will be friends with him again. I just can't deal with this right now. Because I'm just looking at it as like I've already put up with him and like hid for stuff for him and dealt with all this shit for 9 years. For maybe I started to realize things, you know, year six or something like that. So it was good for like so many years in this year. And now I have him trying to turn everything back on around onto me. And also he's getting grace. He's getting, oh, you're gonna ride for him and say like, oh, it's okay. We should be nicer to him because he's having dark thoughts. Whereas like when I was having my clinical depression over my father dying and other stuff, but you were upset that I wouldn't have sex with you as much. So that I become an enemy there, or like then I kept my t-shirt on. Like you made me the enemy when it was my depression, but when it's your depression, you get to be the victim. Like I get that anger of like, no, you don't get to have it both ways. No, not like this. And that's what he's doing right there. It's exactly what he's doing. So I'm sure at some point, you know, I'll just go, no, girl, I disagree with you on that. But at the same time, fuck it, whatever. But right now I'm just like, no.
Yeah.
I'm not saying she can't do no wrong with a double negative right there, but I'm just saying I get it. I get it that you just don't want to hear it right now, because I'm sure also she's still reading in comments people defending him like crazy. And she's like, how can you defend him when you've seen all of this literally? So
I wonder when they said, I wonder if she got upset referencing back to what I said with Vanderpump when they said, you know, we spoke to Vanderpump and she told us he had said he's suicidal. I wonder if at that point Ariana was like, oh, God damn it. That woman's meddling. Production. Yeah. To me, at this point, Vanderpump represents production in the show. She's like an on-camera. And I think at that point, she was like, God damn it. And that's why I thought she had her reaction was like, like, is Vanderpump turning the show and the scandal on me now?
Which I think that is a very valid fear, especially when people are very willing to victim blame.
Well, I don't know if either you know this. I'm only 4 episodes into my VPR journey, so I don't have enough information to take either of your sides yet. We'll circle back to this at the end of the season, because as of right now, they all look terrible. All of them. Except for Graham Cracker. I was introduced to Graham Cracker. That was nice. Even though evidently, from what I've seen, he's already has a different name.
Oh, No, and Graham is a you're a dog lover. Graham is a dog that bites people. Graham is not a good dog.
Bites I'm sorry. People Graham or just is not bites a good dog. James, because I'm okay with biting James.
He bites people. Oh, okay. He's bitten people. Did they, and but bitten did other they deserve dogs it? Too. Yeah. So that you do have to go back and okay. watch other.
Because I will
it was
do
Sandoval,
that.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But also, I go, people who don't train their dogs. So yeah.
There. Okay.
But I think we've lived enough in the valley. I think it's time to go, well, at least to the richer part of the valley.
Yeah, yeah. And head on over to in 9021 Encino. Encino 210. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. It's the finale. I don't know. I don't know what I do all year. I mean, I think I like go into hibernation. I'm going to lie to you guys for every
episode. Wait, no, you still got 3 weeks of reunion. It's not over. It's not over yet. Don't worry.
True,
don't worry, man.
True. Mm-hmm. I do love this show. And it was like, it's like Christmas people when the holidays are over.
You can be that guy who keeps Beverly your tree Hills out until February. You're fine.
Christmas. Mm-hmm. I'll keep my champagne glass. Yeah.
I just took my window Christmas lights down on Monday.
Mm.
Yeah. I took everything else down a while ago, but I leave my window Christmas lights up until at least I was saying Valentine's Day, and then Valentine's Day came and went. I was like, I still want them up. So we left them up till President's Day.
So, is the white party just part of every season? Like that's just like a thing?
Almost okay. every season. From season one, it has been Mauricio and Kyle's annual thing. Okay. And it started out like she talks mm-hmm. about it.
Yeah, they showed old photos.
But it's true. It started out like in their backyard. And with their lives, it grew. Their homes grew. And it was when she said it's kind of like nostalgic or sentimental, it is. Because it used to be a more... No, it wasn't like cheap. I mean, it was in their backyard and their like small house, smallish average house. And then it moved to their slightly bigger house and it's grown with them. And now that might be the last white party, the last Richards Umansky white party. But what a way to go out. Yeah. I mean, that was a spectacular party.
It looked very expensive.
I have a question for you. You mm-hmm. you had an opportunity to go to this white party and you did not.
Yeah.
Are you kicking yourself now that you did not go to this white party?
Especially for the worst reason. Okay, SoFi is down by like LAX and I live way in the valley.
So do they.
It was like,
yeah, you could have hitched a ride with any of them.
True. Yeah, yeah, except they get like car. You saw the caskets, like cars sent for them. They all arrive in Navigators and Escalades.
You could have hitched a ride with Dorit. She didn't have PK with her, so. Or Garcelle coming down from Porter Ranch. She could have picked mm-hmm. you up. Come on. Oh my God.
Garcelle could have picked me up. I live closest to her.
She could have picked you up, and then y'all would have gotten, then you would have gotten Sutton, and then you could have talked Nate up, and we would be doing this from Nate's new home mm-hmm. at Casa de Sutton.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And we know she's, well, at least as of last fall when this was done recording, we know she was single. Because that motherfucker Steve ghosted her. I don't know what the hell he was doing. I complimented him last week, even though he was the competition. I complimented him. I was like, he seems like a good guy. Nope.
Question about that ghosting. I swore, if I remember, she said he ghosted her for 2 days. Does she know what ghosting is?
No.
I think she said 2 days, which I think is like baby ghosting. It's not like a week. It's not like a month. She's new to dating. And she's very traditional. And I, in the Southern courtship, I don't know if 2 days without a response...
I thought it was longer. I thought the 2 days was something else, but maybe
No, you know what?
I might be wrong. I was.
Well, no, what she said, which made no sense, is that no, you're right, because she said he finally texted back 2 days after ghosting her. So I don't know how long the ghosting process was, but the moment she determined she had been ghosted, he texted. So that's what I don't. That's very confusing, but that's what she said.
Okay,
but either way,
so he could have not. So maybe he didn't say anything for like 2 weeks. And then she was like, oh, well, I guess he's ghosting me. And then he finally texted her back. And she's like, well, fuck you. Okay. You ghosted me. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. So
that could make sense.
You know what I wouldn't do?
You're going to have to
ask
for this on your first date. No. Mm-mm.
She would be pretty easy to date too. Cause if you saw when she went and bought those earrings and stuff, she was telling her daughter and giving her a pep talk. It sounds like she doesn't want her man to buy her jewelry anymore.
You don't think I didn't catch that?
The hook.
I caught that.
She was very proud. She was very proud to do it herself. She did not want a man buying her jewelry, which would probably be a foreign. The heads exploded of all her castmates, but yeah.
I mean, I like shiny things, not as much as you, but I like shiny things. If she's going to buy her daughter a 48 grand earrings on the spot, I could go for something. Mm-hmm. I go for something.
Yeah. You know what's crazy about the, well, not crazy, but this episode, as we come to find out so much, it's almost like two episodes in one. Mm-hmm. So what got me is, which is why I always say Beverly Hills is such a flex on all the other franchises in terms of production and budget, because this massive party would normally be something spread out over episodes of planning and build up. They were like, okay, we'll like give it 20 minutes total in the last episode.
When they started
right on,
when they started giving updates, like the Chiron updates on what people are up to. And I was looking at the clock. I'm like, 20 minutes in, what the hell are we doing here? I didn't realize the whole second half was going to like, you know, you're right. It's two completely different shows. Did not see that coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That I will say, I don't think that, okay, the $400,000, I don't think that came out of Kyle's pocket. That was an advertisement for SoFi Stadium. The venue is taken care of. That's a production media trade. So that cuts it out. Kevin Lee back again. That means his, I loved it. And I saw people upset that Kyle is taking digs at LVP with those. Mm-hmm. You have to. They both do it. Those two, it's very civil, their hatred for each other. I think one day, eventually, you'll get a picture of them. I don't think they'll be friends again. I don't think Vanderpump can let it go. And I think Kyle will, yeah. So, I don't know. No, but so I'm saying there's a lot in trade. Maybe 400,000 was the total budget, the value of all these things. But Kyle didn't rent it out. Production rented it out or traded SoFi for media exposure.
Yeah, the Rams cheerleaders and all the ad. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was awkward. Just in the middle of the field, it was really awkward. Like when Mauricio was like, I thought it was going to be in the parking lot. My first thought is that would have been a more efficient use of space than the middle of the fucking football field, where it just looks weird.
Because it seemed empty.
Yeah.
I was like, I couldn't quite tell how many people were there. I was like, there could be 200 people there, and it kind of looks like there's 25 because of the space and everything. And SoFi is huge. Mm-hmm. It's huge. Like, I saw Ed Sheeran there, and I was like, oh, my God, this place is ginormous. So big.
I did like, though, I mean, it made me a little nostalgic, but now that we know it was stolen from Widows and Orphans, not so cute. But I did kind of like seeing Erica perform in her old glam squad, Erica Jane with Girardi money. Mm-hmm.
She looked hot.
And she had Mikey Minden with her. She had the famous glam squad. I mean, playing her classics. Not that I ever liked them so much.
That was a banger. Like, whatever song I assume that was a single of hers. I've not listened to her work.
Yeah. It's hard to say nostalgic because her glory days were funded by crimes against orphans and widows, but they did look amazing.
I was the Denise thing was very funny, where Denise was just but her showing up in pink was awesome, because even like Dorit's like, she showed up in pink again. Mm-hmm. Camille was in blue and she didn't get shit. It was only Denise being, you know, neither of them were in white.
Yeah.
But the whole thing where Denise is just like at the front of the stage saying like, is she going to lip sync? I bet she's going to lip sync. And she clearly looked like she was lip syncing. I thought they were going to cut back to Denise being like, told you, but they did not. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. I mean, the party wrapped up the first half of the episode, which I would just call like finale part one. And then finale part two was all about the Richards Umansky split.
They had to put the date up on the screen as if it's going to be like July 23rd, 2023, a day that will live in infamy.
I remember exactly where I was
in the People when article dropped. You do. Of course you
are
do.
You kidding? Of course I was chain smoking, pacing circles outside a Starbucks. Well,
that could have been any time of day, any day.
Yeah.
But this time I had a reason. I was like, oh my God, who knew? What did that? Like, I was trying to. I mean, I do. That shocked me. Never in a million years saw it coming. They were one Bravo marriage that seemed like rock solid or had longevity.
Are you serious that it shocked you that they did it shock you that they were actually splitting, that it was in People magazine, or that they weren't as rock solid?
Oh no, like I figured they could keep turning a blind eye and that they'd stay away for it together. You know what I mean? Yeah. I just meant like, okay. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, yeah.
I need a clarification.
I wasn't being too awesome. No. Yeah, yeah, no. I just meant like I didn't. So that was, I mean, it's always a good episode when they do the flash forwards in this show. It means something dramatic. I did enjoy Crystal. You know, Crystal Minkoff's husband gave the best Minkoff performance this whole season. His little 2 minutes figuring it out was more than Crystal gave us the entire season.
That's what I say.
Morgan Wade theory. Yeah.
I love a meddling house husband. I love it. Need more of it. Look, if Crystal's going to stay on, then I need to see more Rob Minkoff meddling in the women's business. Mm-hmm. I need more gossipy Rob. Because as far as I'm concerned, Mauricio's gone. PK's in the UK most of the time, so he's basically useless. And until we get Nate in with Sutton, like, we don't have a star man. So Rob Minkoff, like, really has to step up.
Well, give me like three to 6 months. Just, we'll say 6 months. Let's be conservative. Okay. I'll be in there.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We're working on it.
I actually respected his opinion.
Which was?
I wondered who it was.
It was Morgan, right? Yeah, his theory was Morgan Wade. Yeah.
Okay, which is why I was pacing around Starbucks all day. Like, I remember that moment being like, who could it be? And, you know, I'm familiar with some of these people and stuff. And I was thinking about the inner circle and who you have to think about when a story like that drops, who it benefits. You have to read between the lines sometimes. Sometimes the person who it benefits isn't even mentioned. And so I had a list of people who could have done that to her or who would have let it slip. But when he laid out Morgan, I was like, actually, Mr. Minkoff, I kind of see he knows how to read stories. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's a household name now. Mm-hmm. She is a household name.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. I don't think most of America knew who she was like until this.
No.
I was calling her Morgan Wallen for like a week. And no, I don't even really know who he was either. So and then I found out and I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, no. Problematic. Mm-hmm. A little problematic. Scotch. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So I could see that. I had some others I won't say. Who I thought, but when he said that one, the way he laid it, I was like, actually, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know for sure, but he made a solid argument. So It was sad seeing the kid, you know, that whole, the whole sit down.
I have nothing really invested in them. Just obvious as, I mean, we couldn't repeat it anymore about how I've not seen it prior to this season. So I don't know. They're the flashbacks. It's nice to see the flashbacks of when like they're super young and everything. But at the very end, when she was doing, Kyle was doing her confessional and she was like crying and said, "We're not broken, just bent." I was like, "Oh, okay. Now I'm on your side." I was, I teared up a little bit about it. That was a good line.
The pink song.
Yeah.
The
pink, the pink, it's like, that's a lyric.
Yeah. I know. Just, yeah, yeah. I know she was, I know. I love pink. Yeah. Yeah. I know. She delivered it well is what I'm saying. She delivered it well.
Some of my friends were like, "Oh, I kind of feel bad for Kyle," like after watching this. And I was like, "I wanna, but I kind of don't. I feel bad for her kids. Like, splitting up is hard. I mean, I come from divorced parents, so like splitting up is hard, and I get that. It's not easy, and especially when it's so public. Like, I can't imagine that. But a lot of times, if it's infidelity, wherever you live, like, I felt like, even though my parents aren't public figures, I felt like it was public, if that makes sense, because it feels so public, like within your community and stuff like that. But it's something about it, almost goes back to the dinner party from hell of when, you know, Alison Dubois said, you know, he'll never emotionally fulfill you. And as soon as the kids are gone, and the way that, like, especially the first few seasons, a lot of the times it felt like Kyle could kind of be one of those women who would put down other women who were single, who had been divorced, who didn't have a marriage as good as hers. So it's not like I'm saying it's karma at all, because I think that's mean to look at it that way. It just was a little bit, though, of you thought so highly of yourself, and we all kind of knew that there was a bit of smoke and mirrors here. And then it finally is all coming down. And so I want to feel bad for you, but I don't, because I feel like you knew it was ending for a very long time and you tried to hide it for whatever reasons. And those are your reasons. You are on television. I don't think you are on reality television, which means there is more of your life to share with the public than I would say a traditional actor who is not sharing their real life for your entertainment. You are sharing your real life for entertainment. But I feel like for me, it was a lot of like, just kind of the way that in the past she's been condescending to other women who have been through divorces and who have been single. And it always has rubbed me the wrong way. Is this a superiority complex? And I was like, look here, little woman, shut up. So I'm like, well, you've got a soft place to land with Morgan, you know, good for you. You didn't jump until you had something else set. Okay, nice.
The Richards-Umansky marriage would be over, but we here at PCP would still love $400,000 to throw our own white party. We'd love to invite you, and let's be honest, we'd do it for like $400. We're not that fancy. However, a way to help us achieve our dreams is to rate, subscribe, review, and follow the Pretty Corrupt Podcast. You could head on over to Instagram and TikTok, where we're at Pretty Corrupt Podcast, and Twitter, where we're at Pretty Corrupt One. Of course, all our personal accounts are linked, Stacey's, Nate's, and mine, where you can follow our journey into God knows what we're doing watching these. So on that note, make sure to share with your divorce attorneys, the realtor buying your house, selling your house, mistresses, whatever it is. And of course, we have PCP pop culture coming up, so if you haven't listened to that, make sure to, and we'll see you next episode. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it, like we do it.